Our first reading is from the book of Exodus, chapter 1, verses 6 through 9 and 22. In time, Joseph and all of his brothers died, ending the entire generation. But their descendants, the Israelites, had many children and grandchildren. In fact, they multiplied so greatly that they became extremely powerful and filled the land. Eventually, a new king came to power in Egypt, who knew nothing about Joseph or what he had done. He said to his people, "Look, the people of Israel now outnumber us and are stronger than we are." The Pharaoh gave this order to all his people: "Throw every newborn Hebrew boy into the Nile River, but you may let the girls live." May God add his blessing to the reading of this word.
God's people, the Israelites, had followed Joseph to Egypt so they would have food to eat. After many years, a new Pharaoh ruled who did not remember what Joseph had done for Egypt. The people of God became slaves. They were trapped and could not go home. There were so many Israelites in Egypt that the Pharaoh was afraid they would take his kingdom away from him. So he said that no baby boys could be born. When two midwives made sure the boys were born, the Pharaoh decided that all the baby boys had to be thrown in the Nile River to die. When baby Moses was born, his mother made a basket, hid the baby in the basket, and put it in the reeds by the Nile River, but sent his sister Miriam to keep watch. Pharaoh's daughter found the basket and called the baby Moses. Then she had Miriam take the baby to his mother to be cared for until he was old enough to live with her in the palace.
This reading is from the book of Exodus, chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Many years later, when Moses had grown up, he went out to visit his own people, the Hebrews, and he saw how hard they were forced to work. During his visit, he saw an Egyptian beating one of his fellow Hebrews. After looking in all directions to make sure no one was watching, Moses killed the Egyptian and hid the body in the sand. And now chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. One day, Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire in the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. "This is amazing," Moses said to himself. "Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it." When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush, "Moses, Moses." "Here I am," Moses replied. May God add his blessing to the reading of this word. Amen.
When Moses was a young man, he saw an Egyptian beating one of the Israelites. Moses grew very angry and killed the Egyptian. Then he ran away into the desert. In Midian, he made a new home, got married, and had a son. After many years had passed, one day, Moses was taking care of his father-in-law's sheep at Mount Sinai. Suddenly, he saw the strangest thing, a bush that was on fire but did not burn up. As he came close to the bush, he heard God calling his name from the burning bush. God told Moses that the cries of his people, the Israelites, who were still slaves, had been heard. Moses was to go and set the people free. Moses said, "But who am I to do such a thing?" God said, "I will be with you, and Aaron, your brother, will go and with you and speak for you."
Our next reading is from the book of Exodus, chapter 12, verses 37 through 39. That night, the people of Israel left Ramesses and started for Succoth. There were about 600,000 men, plus all the women and children. A rabble of non-Israelites went with them, along with great flocks and herds of livestock. For bread, they baked flat cakes from the dough without yeast they had brought from Egypt. It was made without yeast because the people were driven out of Egypt in such a hurry that they had no time to prepare the bread or other food. In chapter 14, verses 21 through 23. Then Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the Lord opened up a path through the water with a strong east wind. The wind blew all that night, turning the seabed into dry land. So the people of Israel walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground with walls of water on each side. Then the Egyptians, all of Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and charioteers, chased them into the middle of the sea. May God add his blessing to the reading of this word. Amen.
So Moses went back to Egypt to tell the Pharaoh to let his people go. Moses went many times to the Pharaoh to tell him to let the Israelites go. And many times the Pharaoh said no. God sent 10 plagues to Egypt, and many terrible things happened to the people. Finally, the Pharaoh said, "Yes, you may take your people out of Egypt." When they left Egypt, Pharaoh changed his mind again and decided he didn't want to let the Israelites go. He sent his army after them. Soon, Pharaoh's army was behind them, and the Red Sea was in front of them. They were scared. But God helped Moses to show the people how to go through the water into freedom. God parted the waters, and the people crossed on dry land. The army kept coming, but they got stuck in the mud. Then God made the water come back, and the whole Egyptian army was tossed into the sea.
I'll be reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 1, 20, 24, and 25. Exactly 2 months after the Israelites left Egypt, they arrived in the wilderness of Sinai. The Lord came down on the top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses climbed the mountain, but the Lord said, "Go down and bring Aaron back up with you. In the meantime, don't let the priests or people break through to approach the Lord, or he will break out and destroy them." So Moses went down to the people and told them what the Lord had said. May God add his blessing to the reading of this word. Amen. God's people were free, but they didn't know the best way to go. They had to learn how to trust God and how to live with each other. With God's help, Moses led the people to Mount Sinai, where God had spoken to him from the burning bush. God gave Moses some rules for the people to follow to help them know how to treat God and each other. These are the Ten Commandments God gave us.
I am reading from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1, verses 2 to 3, 14 to 15. Normally, it takes only 11 days to travel from Mount Sinai to Kadesh Barnea, going by way of Mount Seir. But 40 years after the Israelites left Egypt, on the first day of the 11th month, Moses addressed the people of Israel, telling them everything the Lord had commanded him to say. "Then you responded, 'Your plan is a good one.' So I took the wise and respected men you had selected from your tribes and appointed them to serve as judges and officials over you. Some were responsible for 1,000 people, some for 100, some for 50, and some for 10. May God add his blessing to the reading of this word. Amen."
Moses led the people through the wilderness as they followed the fire of God by night and the smoke by day. They wandered for 40 years. They grew tired and hungry and discouraged, and they grumbled to Moses. Some even wanted to go back to Egypt. But God gave the Israelites water to drink and quail and manna to eat. The whole time there in the desert, God provided for the Israelites. Even when the people forgot to trust God and complained, he was with them.
I will be reading from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verses 1, 10, 13, and 14. And now, Israel, listen carefully to these decrees and regulations that I am about to teach you. Obey them so that you may live, so that you may enter and occupy the land that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. Never forget the day when you stood before the Lord, your God, at Mount Sinai, where he told me, "Summon the people before me, and I will personally instruct them. Then they will learn to fear me as long as they live, and they will teach their children to fear me, too." He proclaimed his covenant, the Ten Commandments, which he commanded you to keep, and which he wrote on two stone tablets. It was at that time that the Lord commanded me to teach you his decrees and regulations so that you would obey them in the land you are about to enter and occupy. May God add his blessing to the reading of this word. Amen. Before the Israelites crossed into the Promised Land, Moses reminded them of everything they had been through and reminded them that God had been faithful to them through everything. Then he said, "Listen, O Israel, our God is the Lord, only the Lord, and love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. These words I am commanding you today must always be on your minds. Recite them to your children. Talk about them when you are sitting around your house and when you are out and about, when you are lying down and when you are sitting up. Tie them on your hand as a sign, and they should be on your forehead as a symbol. Write them on your house's door frames and on your city's gates." Moses was intent on making sure the Israelites remembered to love and trust God. We should all remember these stories and pass them on to our children and grandchildren so that they will learn to love and follow God as well. Thank you.
I'm going to ask our children and our youth to please stand up and introduce you to these leaders of the church, and to thank them for giving their time. And really, when you get right down to it, we thank their parents for getting them up this morning and getting them dressed and getting them in the car and getting them to church. They've done this twice today. They were here at the 8:30 service, and now they are here at the 10:50 service to bless you and to proclaim the message of the gospel, the good news that God is with us even in the wilderness, that God comes and calls on people who don't maybe look like the ones we think are the most qualified. But God is looking for those who listen to him and who will follow his ways. And that's who he found in Moses. And that's who Jesus found in the disciples. And so we are blessed to have these children with us and to have them leading in worship like this. We're going to, I know this is going to come as a great sadness to some of you, but we're going to get out early today. It's not making up for all the times we've gotten out late, but it's a start. And so we're going to sing our last song very appropriately entitled, "Pass It On." And these kids have been passing it on this morning. And so it's a challenge for all of us to be passing on the word of God from the people of God to those who do not know God. And let me just say for a moment that if you believe for 1 minute that everybody's heard about Jesus, if you believe for one moment that everybody knows about God, they just don't want to act on that. We probably live in the first generation for a very, very long time, where there really are great numbers of people living right around us who don't know what it means to live with God as their guide and their companion. We have a responsibility. We have a great gift and privilege to be able to tell others about Christ. And so as we sing this song, if there are any of you who would like to come forward today to join this church from another United Methodist Church or from another denomination, please come forward while we're singing. And if for the first time you're ready to proclaim that you're going to follow Jesus, and you might not even know what that means, and you might have questions about that, then come forward as we sing. This song is called Pass It On, and I have to tell you, the first time I ever heard it, I was a teenager. Well, you know what teenagers are like. Everybody kind of think about that for just a minute. And I really looked at that song and heard it, and I thought, well, finally, they've written a good song for church. The fact is, it was a new song, and it was a different kind of song, but the message is the same. We continue to spread the same message that has been spread for thousands of years. So let us stand together as we sing this song.